So how many of y'all ready to get in the Word this morning? Amen? You ready to go? Well, this, like I said, is not necessarily a series, but a standalone message. And I'm stoked for, man, just what God wants to do this summer, everybody. I've just been in a season in my life of just, man, my just focused in prayer and just serious about what God wants to do right here in this summer. I think oftentimes we can take spiritual vacations, but I'm going to push on you and challenge you to not forget Jesus on your vacation. Come on, somebody. Amen. And to take him with you. And so I want to start off in this scripture this morning in Luke chapter 9. I was preparing this week, I was actually leaning towards doing another thing when I felt like the Holy Spirit said, this is what you're supposed to talk about. I said, yes, Holy Spirit. So Luke chapter 9, let's look at it first. And I'm going to break this down, and I want to teach something. I'm going to try to teach, but y'all know I get a little excited sometimes, and then I preach a little bit. Anyways, we'll see how this goes. But it says this, verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But this guy said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you.'" Hopefully you're seeing the three different instances here, moments that's happening. He said, "I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit." Everybody say, "Is fit for the kingdom of God." I want you to see something, because we're going to go back in these verses and reread this in just a moment, that there are three different situations happening, three different people that Jesus is talking here to, and it's important that you understand, because it's the context. Sometimes we read through scriptures, and if we don't understand its context, we miss what Jesus is trying to teach us. And so what I want to do is take a moment for us to understand the context. Everybody say, "The context." And so three different situations are taking place. I want to reread verse 57, 58. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord,'" again, crying out, "Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever I go. Lord, I'm going to serve you with my life. I'm going to go after you." And Jesus' response to this person, he said, "Well, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What you need to understand about this, first of all, is that Jesus knows the heart of each person he's talking to here. So that's a context that you got to understand. So he knows their heart. But how many know if I were to tell Jesus, "Man, I'm going to follow you everywhere you go," and then he responds and says, "Well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." How many know you might be like, "What's up, Jesus? I don't know what that means," you know? And so I want you to understand this. In this moment, Jesus is teaching something powerful here, that an emotional response or an enthusiastic response that has not considered the cost of abandoning material security is insufficient. In other words, God is calling you and I to abandon all and to radically pursue him with everything we have. Everybody shout, "No excuses." Verse 59 and 60, it says, "Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' And he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus' response to this man, he said, 'Lord, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" In other words, Jesus is teaching another powerful principle here, that the loyalty to Jesus takes precedence over all other lesser loyalties in your life. That Jesus must be the priority relationship above any other relationship in your life. I love my wife, but I love Jesus a lot more. And because I love Jesus, I love my wife. You can't love anybody without first being loved first. And so it's understanding what Jesus is implying here. So this man is offering what may not seem like an excuse to me and you. He said, "Well, I need to go bury my dead and my father." And it would almost seem that Jesus is being a little insincere, which he's not. Again, he knows the heart of the person of what's happening. Jesus wasn't being insensitive here. This was a lesson to this man of procrastination. He says, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you." But Jesus knows the heart of the person, that there's procrastination going on. Can I tell you, someday is the enemy of today? We always push off. We'll say, "Well, one day I'll get involved. one day I'll start making a difference with our life. Boy, if there's anything that I feel like this year has taught me so far is we've lost a few faithful members of this church, is time is short. We never know when our last breath will be. Now, that's not a fearful statement, everybody, but it should be a statement of recognizing, I don't know how much time you and I have, but whatever time I have left, I'm telling you, we gotta give everything that we have to God. I've been in hospital settings when people are dying. Can I tell you, nobody's worried about how much money they made. Nobody's worried about how many vacations they took. When I have sat next to the dead, to the dying in their hospital rooms, it was, man, their love for God. I remember statements of thinking, man, I wish I would have done more for the Lord and for my family and loved my friends and family better. It's about making an impact. It's about not having excuses. And then here's the last part, verse 61 and 62. It says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell, those who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is focusing on the mission here. And this is what he's trying to grab a hold of. And this is why this is serious business for God. Because God's mission demands our attention. That when God has called us to go reach the world, it wasn't just a good suggestion. God called us and commanded us to go ye and preach the gospel to everybody. Can you say amen, everybody? That's his mission for his church. And everybody say, we are the church. And so because we are the church, we don't exist for us, but we exist for the world. We exist for the ones who are not sitting by you yet here today. And it says this in that verse, is not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, here's what that means. A half-hearted relationship or a half-hearted discipleship only or eliminates us from God's maximum use in our life. Think about that. I don't know about you, but I want to go all in with God. I'm not trying to just, man, play church and just kind of, man, just hope for the best. Man, I want to be a part of the answer to this world and reaching the streets of our city and our nation and the global world because we're called to make an impact. And so I'm not interested. And so that's what Jesus is saying. And a half-hearted relationship with me is going to limit you and your impact. But if you'll trust me and go all in, man, a difference will be made. Let me pray over you this morning. God, I just thank you right now over the next couple of minutes that Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to teach us, but I'm asking you to revive some things that maybe have sat dormant for so long. Father, I'm asking that you would awaken calls, awaken dreams, and speak to us only like you can. Father, I believe this message this morning is for us, and I believe it is for this church and for such a time as this, that you are moving us into the next season of what you have in this house, for this city, in this nation, to reach the global world. And so, Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing. We don't want to just talk about it. We want actions to match our words. And so I pray that we hear your voice, not Pastor Kyle, your voice this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. So here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you just on the subject from surviving to thriving, because I think the truth is we allow our emotions and excuses, sometimes our half-heartedness and the pain and the things in which we've went through to lead us and to kind of govern our lives. Your pain and your situation is not meant to direct your life, although the Holy Spirit is meant to direct your life. Amen, everybody. That's a good place to say amen. You want the Holy Spirit, trust me, leading your life. Amen, everybody. All right, there you go. And so what happens is we miss the ultimate of what God has and wants to do in our lives because of this. And there's a few reasons why we shift and why we get into this thing called survival mode. So I want to move through this because I got a lot of ground to cover. So jot this down. Here's the first reason why I think we move into just kind of this surviving. And instead of just thriving with God, we just kind of take a day at a time and just, man, if I can just get through this day. If I can just get through the case of the Mondays, if I can get, you know, just kind of make it through, maybe things will work out. But how many know God has got a lot more than just a maybe? He's got promises for you and I to claim, and we oftentimes leave a lot of the benefits on the table. So I'm going to challenge you to take the benefits off the table and apply them to your life. All right. So first of all, I believe this is one of the reasons why we get in this survival mode is we believe the lie that it will always be this way. It's like we come into a pact, we come into an agreement, not knowingly a lot of times, that the very thing that we're facing or the very thing that we're struggling with and that's hit us square between the eyes is what's going to determine the course of our life. It's going to determine the rest of our days. How many know it's a lie of the enemy? Can I encourage you? Don't accept the lies of Satan in your life. Say, well, it's always, you always, your mama, your daddy, your granddaddy struggle with it. You always going to struggle with it. Nope, because the buck stops with me, and I know God's power, and I know who he is. Boy, that was a lot louder than I thought it would be. And so it's understanding, though, we oftentimes believe, I think, and even sometimes have allowed our past to corrupt and have influence on our future. Sometimes we don't know it and even realize it, but that's what happens. And so your past, here's a cool thing about your God. Your past, your pain, your current struggles are never wasted with God. Can I tell you something pretty cool about your God? That he is great at recycling that pain and those struggles to use that to touch the life of somebody else. God believes in recycling. Isn't that pretty cool? I know a lot of the world is talking about recycling, but he believes in it too. He started it, all right? Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, forget about what's happened. Come on, everybody say, forget about what's happened. Don't keep on going on to old history. Be alert. Everybody say, be alert. Be alert. Be present. Say, be present. Be present. Check it out. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers, and the badlands. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the new. Man, I'm ready for whatever God wants to do next. And I'm just telling you, for those that have an ear to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are open, God's ready to usher you into a next season, into the thing that he wants to bring you to next, and to continue to go forward into something brand new. But you cannot continue to stay with how you've been doing it, where you're at, and just expect things to always change. It's going to take, faith's got motion to it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So it's going to take you being obedient to God's call. Amen? And then this verse popped in my spirit this week. And this doesn't happen a lot. A few times in the year, I feel like God just gives me something for you specific. And this is what I heard. 2 Samuel 24 starts out David saying, I'm in a desperate situation. And when I was praying this week, this is what I heard the Lord say. And like I said, this happens maybe four or five times kind of a year where I feel like it's for you. And I just feel like there's a lot of people this morning that says, I'm in a desperate situation. Some of you are desperate in your marriage. Some of you are desperate in your family. Some of you are desperate for God to move in your job. Some of you are desperate for God to move in your finances. Some of you are desperate whether to hold on to hope. You received a bad report. Some of you are desperate this morning. There is no shame in being in a desperate situation. Is there anybody up in the house today that says, I'm in a desperate situation? You don't have to be shamed in it. Hey, man, I'm desperate, and I'm desperate for a move of God. Some of you are desperate for a move of God. Come on, anybody desperate in the house? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but don't be ashamed of it, because in the midst of your desperation is one of the greatest places where God will meet you with a miracle if you allow him to. So desperation causes you to make a decision. That's why I love to be desperate. Causes you to either go this way or that way. Either I'm going to trust God or I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But how many know I'm going to lean on to the anchor of the Holy Spirit and trust God and his promise and his words? Everybody shout, be desperate. But he said, I'm desperate. David replied to Gad, but let us all fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Don't let me fall into human hands. That's good. That's God's word to you. Thank God that we don't fall into human hands, people that will quit on us early. How many know people will quit on you? They'll give up on you. People are funny sometimes. They'll love you one day and don't want nothing to do with you the next. But how many know God will never leave your side? That he is faithful to be with you no matter what. For some, it's time to make a decision. I'm going to go from surviving to thriving. Here's another reason we get hit survival mode is we stop being teachable. This is dangerous. There ain't nothing worse than a know-it-all. I've said it before, be a learn-it-all, not a know-it-all. But oftentimes we get into survival mode because we think we have it all together, we think we know enough, and then we don't want to hear and receive help from anybody else. I've got this. Just why we have small groups, because ain't none of us got this together. I'm in a small group. Lead a small group as well. And so we're a part of something. Your destiny, listen to me, can be delayed or short-circuited if you remain unteachable. I've just seen it. I'll never forget one of the greatest things my pastor did for me many years ago is I was in a funky time, not being teachable, pride the size of Texas, and I know, imagine, I know you can't think that I would go through those kind of things, have those flaws in my character. I know, just kidding you. But I went through that season. I'll never forget, my pastor gave me keys to be the church janitor, called me to serve all the other leaders of the church, and I did this for 7 months, thinking it was just going to be a month. My pastor, being my pastor, amen, thank God for your pastor, everybody, was led by the Lord and knew I needed more than a month's work on this character. Yeah, old Kyle needed some work. And so after having literally a moment in the midst of cleaning bathrooms and sweeping, a touch from God to remove that funkiness off me, my attitude, I began to serve and clean the church with love, begin to serve with purpose. It wasn't work. Serving my leaders ended up being the greatest 7 months of my life as I look back, because that was the 7 months where God was teaching me and God was using my pastor to teach me character and growth. And as I did that, I watched friends who were close with me in ministry. I was sharing this past week with some of the guys that we're doing a small group with, and one of the guys in particular, called by God, called in full-time ministry. I mean, incredible gifts, used by God. But your giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you. And I'm telling you, that's what happened. I watched guys just fall by the wayside. One of those guys in particular today, still not in ministry, was unteachable. And now he's doing something totally opposite of what he was born to do. I don't ever want to get to the place that I'm so proud that God, Scripture said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I don't ever want to be in a place where God is opposing me. That God, if I'm so puffed up and I can't be teachable, you've got to break me. And sometimes God will bring you to a breaking moment in order to try to teach you, to get you to where you need to be. And he won't quit. So that's what I'm saying. Be teachable. Keep learning. Proverbs says this, chapter 4 says, get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must want to be taught. To refuse reproof or to refuse correction is stupid. Can I just tell you, as adults, let's just talk for a minute, that we don't want nobody telling us we wrong. How many like to be wrong? Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get a hand on that. Ain't none of us like to be wrong. But how many know in the times that we are wrong, the greatest moments of teachability, whether it's with your spouse, on the job, in church, whatever, and at the end of the day is receiving the correction from the Holy Spirit in your life. You're never so far gone. You're never so far in this that you'll never not need correction for your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, I'm telling you, every one of us always needs a good dose of some help and correction from the Lord. Can you say amen? All right. I know this ain't a shout me down portion of the message, but it's good teaching. Verse chapter 14, verse 12, everybody, says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that may seem right to you and me, but if we don't involve God and we don't involve right relationships and people on the journey with us, it's going to end in death. I don't want to be pursuing something in my life that God's not in. I want to be pursuing something in my life that God is absolutely unequivocally in. Like, there's no doubt about it. And so I want to pursue that. And so what happens is, I want to go to the next one, I think, why we hit these moments of survival. This is one, honestly, probably the point of the day right here. I could probably stop the service right here. This is what I heard the Lord say to me this week, that oftentimes we misunderstand our storms in life are meant to be celebrated and not tolerated. Now, I probably know what you're thinking. Yeah, that may sound like a nice tweetable thing to say, Pastor, but Lord, it's not real fun to be in a storm. But hopefully, in this moment, I can convince you, or at least try to start looking at your storms a little bit differently than you have been. Because sometimes, if you know what I'm talking about, what you see, hear me, what you see is a direct contradiction oftentimes of what you sense. In other words, do you know, here's what I'm saying by that, if you don't know what I mean by that, do you know what it's like to believe God for something but not see it happen? How many know what I'm talking about? Believe God for something but not see it. And I've been in many, plenty of moments like that. And I know in my times of conversation with God, I know that God, I get stuck in these storms sometimes, and I've been there, and I'm not saying I've arrived, but through the teaching of the Holy Spirit and relationship speaking in my life, I'm growing in this. So I want you to grow, and I want to teach you this as well. And so when I'm praying for something and I'm believing in the midst of my storm, I don't always know if God will, but I do always know that God can. I don't know if he always will, but I do know that he can do it. And so for some of us, we're quitting too early on things. And through the midst of the storm, God is always testing your heart. God wants to make sure you're ready. Here's a few scriptures. Deuteronomy 13:3 says, "The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you will love him with all your heart and with all your soul." For some, you might be in a season of testing. So, well, man, why does God do that? Because he wants to see where your heart's at. Are you going to rely on him, or are you going to rely on yourself to get you out of this? And then I love James 2 out of the Message Bible. You got to listen to me. Like, I don't want to speed through this verse because you have got to get this verse. Like, this is probably one of the, if I could give you something spiritual, if I could give you something practical today, something that I think can help your life, it's this verse right here that God gives us. And it says this: "Consider it a sheer gift." We're going to move through this kind of slow, and I've got it highlighted. Or another version says, "Consider it joy." I know this is hard sometimes. "When tests and challenges come at you from all sides." How many have ever had some tests and challenges that felt like, man, it's coming from everywhere? Yeah. Check this out. "You know that under pressure," because some of you are under pressure right now, look at this, "your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors." Do you know that your reaction to a situation, whether you're at the job or away from the job, in private, is a determination of your character and heart and where you're at and where you're not at? We will oftentimes want to get promoted and try to expedite the process. That is not your God. God is going to take you through a process in order to promote you. It's not an overnight thing. And I know you and I may not like that, but he cares more about our character than he does our careers, because you're taking your character and you're into heaven, not your career. All right? So you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced in the open, and it's going to show its true colors. So when those moments and those arguments, come on, husbands and wives, woo, it's hard, but it's going to show its true colors. And so we got to help me, Holy Spirit, shut my mouth, all right? And it's sometimes with friends, too. It's not just those that are married. Come on, somebody. Amen? So here it is. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. I read that this week. I thought, man, Lord, you are preaching here. Because we want to get out of situations that are meant to build us. Storms, it seems like a hurricane's in my life, but God's trying to use that hurricane to make you into what he wants you to be. But we forfeit and we quit too early on stuff. Ugh. And then we go through it again and we're like, ugh. Here's what I'm trying to do as your pastor. I'm trying to help you. That when you're in a season that you recognize, man, it's just like all hell is breaking loose. Can I tell you, in the midst of the storm, only Jesus can come in the midst of that storm and calm it and bring peace to your life. He's done it. He'll do it again. So let it do its work so that you may become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. The problem is that many people don't want to go through anything to get to the promise. Oftentimes we want the quickest route to get there, but I'm telling you, it's when you go through the pain. Your pain is never wasted. It's when you go through the storm that you are made. The more you get prepared and the more you grow into the place of maturity in God, through the storm, you have a choice. Either I can grow in this or I can decay in this. I can either grow in this or decay in it. Yeah, I don't really like the process of decaying, so I think I'm going to make the decision to grow. Anybody with me on that? Obstacles, listen to me, that are in your life are always opportunities in front of us. You have to start seeing the very thing that you feel like is trying to drive you away from God is the very thing that's meant to bring you to God. Okay? We're always going to deal with attacks in our life. We've got a devil who roams around like a roaring lion looking and seeing who he can devour. So we got to know it's part of us. But what you need to understand is that when you run from the battle, you run from the blessings. When you run from the problems, you run from the promise. When you run from the trials, you run from the harvest. I'm just telling you, you got to start learning to celebrate the storms. Even though you may have tears and snot and everything going down your nose, not sure how I'm going to make it, but here's what we make the determination. I'm not moving. I'm not going to believe in anything or anybody else, but in you, God is my source. Whether it's my healing, whether it's my deliverance, whether it's my freedom, whatever it is that I need, it's not going to move me from what I see or what I believe. I'm going to trust in God. Come on, declare with me, I'm not surviving anymore. Come on, declare I'm thriving in Jesus' name. Amen. So you ready? Let's start thriving. Number one, jot it down. You got to go all in. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute. I haven't done this in a long time. So you'll have to forgive me if you get mad at me. And that's in the scripture, so you got to forgive me, all right? It's interesting to me. Sometimes we just try to fit God in our schedule. I say, man, why? Why am I not seeing a move of God? Man, why aren't we seeing this happen that time? Because we've got God on a schedule. God's not interested in your schedule book. I'm just letting you know. He's not interested in second, third, fourth, fifth place. He's a jealous God, and he always wants to be your priority relationship above anything in your life. Well, I'm tired. Well, I'm glad he didn't say that when he went to the cross. Amen, everybody? Listen, this is not a condemning message, everybody, but I want you to understand the seriousness that we get in these survival modes. And God is trying to bring us into correction to help us get us back to right navigation. Have you ever been lost on a road traveling somewhere? It is frustrating. And then if somebody's in the car saying, you should have went that way. but the navigation told me. Yeah, okay. Here's all I'm saying. I want you to receive this with a grace today. That he's with you. God wants this church to be more than even what it is now. He wants us as a people to go further than we've ever been. We can't go where God wants us to go continuing to hang on to some of the things we're hanging on to. If you want to go farther, it's time to make some decisions. Go all in. And for some that say, man, I'm you know, kind of like the story in Luke that we read. Jesus, I'll follow you. And some say, man, God, I'll follow you, but only come around to church every once in a while. Man, I'm just telling you, it doesn't work that way, gang. You will never find out the best that God has for you going in halfway. Quite honestly, this is my soapbox kind of moment right here. I don't understand it. When I got saved as a boy growing up, in my teens, in my 20s, when I was making my own decisions, man, I was, every time the church doors were open, I was there. Because I was desperate for God. If my pastor got up and said small groups or whatever it was, you know, I was there. I remember ushering at a women's conference just because I wanted to serve. I remember outreaches being there just because I wanted to grow. And when the church doors were open, I just wanted to learn. I wanted to learn more about God. I wanted to learn more about, man, how I can grow in my prayer life. And when there are calls for prayer times and gatherings, I wanted to be there, whatever the church was offering. I was there, and my mom didn't always have to push me. Some mornings she did as a teenager. William Kyle, get out of the bed, you know. But if you really want to find all that God has for you, and to the person who would say, man, I'm going to try this thing out that Pastor Kyle has talked about so often, this growth track thing. He talks about in this that, you know, they'll help us find, discover our purpose, our gifts. So I'm going to try it out. Man, to the person that says you want to go all in, I'll encourage it, do it. do it to the person that says, man, he talks about these small groups all the time as well. Life change happens in relationships. I dare you, try it out. Try it out. Man, he talks about the dream team and serving and how that is not only fulfilling to our lives, but it makes a difference in the lives of others. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try it out. And I'm telling you, here's what you'll discover. You will discover your life will change radically for the good. The problem is you may never know until you go all in, though. You may never know how good it is until you go all in. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You can't find God until you give him everything. And if you'll go all in with God, I'm telling you, you'll see in about a 3 to 6 month time. I don't like putting timelines on things, but I'm telling you, you'll see a shift in your life. And I promise you, if you do, your life will be so much better, especially your relationship with the Lord. And here's been my prayer for my life. If God has it, if he says it in the word, and I need it, give me some of that. Like, if you say it, God, and that's what you want for my life, I'm going all in. I want all that he has for me. And you got to understand, growth doesn't happen by accident, but on purpose. So you have got to make the decision. Make the decision. Make the decision. I'm going to be intentional. All right, second thing, quickly, stretch your faith. If you want to go into a place of thriving, and believe God no matter what. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, the woman with the issue of blood here in Mark 5, says a woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years. Everybody say 12 years. A long time of suffering. A long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all her money and leaving her worse off than before. Woo, kind of feel that way today sometimes. Had heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind. You got to just know this situation. There's tons and tons and hundreds of people around Jesus. And she touched his robe. She was thinking to herself, if I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did, a flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. But at the same moment, Jesus felt discharging from him, energy discharging from him, and he turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Who touched me? His disciples said, what are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking, who touched me? Dozens, Jesus, have touched you. But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him and gave him the whole story. Jesus said to her, daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. Your desperation, stretching your faith. If you want to keep growing spiritually, you got to keep stretching. I'm learning this very quickly with Sean Hartzell. He's helping train me, my man, all right, in the gym. You don't stretch well, you don't get your butt whooped, all right? And so, I'm just telling you, cardio as well. And how? By going after dreams that are bigger than you, praying with boldness. And what happens is we often give up in prayer when we don't see answers to our prayers. And let me say it this way. Don't stop praying for whatever it is, even if it's been years. Here's a woman with 12 years. But don't stop praying. You got to pray through, and praise through. And so what I mean by that is even if I don't see a result to it, I'm going to not just quit praying over it. I'm going to keep my request before God and continue to pray and to believe. And then I'm going to get my praise on because even though I don't see it, I'm going to thank God that it's on the way. The very thing I've been believing for 12 years, I'm about to get my miracle because I know I'm this close to seeing it happen. And too many people quit in the storms of life when the miracle is literally right there on the other side. Just telling you, don't quit. My prayer over the next 6 months over myself and you. I want the team to put this up there. This is literally what I'm praying. God, do something unpredictable. Do something uncontrollable in my life and in this church. It's time that you start praying radical. It's time this church starts lifting up prayers that are radical, crazy. Like you believe you can take the city for Jesus? Yep. Yep, yeah, I can, and I believe that, and I believe we're not the only one believing that in this city as well. We've got a lot of great churches in our city, by the way, everybody, but we're going to do our part in our city. Man, you mean praying for Weiser Park for a move of God and maybe a campus down in the inner city? Yep, because I'm praying that way. That's my God. That's how big he is. Praying for a dream center one day that's going to house the and take in those who are struggling with addictions and seeing rehab programs started. Yep, because the gifts are inside of many people in this church that God's waiting to lift up and call forward in Jesus' name. We're not called to take a back seat. We're called to take the front seat of what God wants to do in this move, in this city, in this time. I'm just telling you, I love something Mark Batterson said, reading The Circle Maker right now. Great book. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. For some of us, it's time to start praying dangerous prayers. Believers, some, you're believing for salvations in your family. Doesn't matter how long grandpa or grandma has been away from God. I have seen elderly on their deathbed in their last moments. You don't want that to happen, but give their life to God. We don't want that to happen. So I'm believing in the midst as we're praying. And in this summer, I'm just telling you, focus in on what God's doing. I got to keep moving, all right? Number three is you got to shift from control to surrender. You can have faith or you can have control, but you cannot have both. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything. Everybody shout, God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. If you seek answers, you won't find them. But if you seek God, the answers will find you. For some, we've been running from some things, running from God, running from some of the shame and the sin that God has paid the price for. Quit running. Run to him this morning. Here's the last thing. You've got to realize that Jesus is all that you will ever need. When I talk about praying for an unpredictable, uncontrollable, whatever God wants, I'm not talking about man's definition of a move of God, by the way. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not interested in man's definition of, well, this is God and this. No, I just want Jesus. And that's all that I want. And I want his power in my life through this church in the city of Fort Wayne. What we're seeing on the streets of this city, I wish you could see some of these faces that we are impacting from little children all the way up. I'm telling you, our greatest days are right in front of us. John 3:30, one of my favorite scriptures, he must become greater and greater. I got to become less and less. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. Can I tell you the only thing that is impossible for God? Listen to me very clearly. The only thing that is impossible for God is nothing. The only thing that is impossible for your God is nothing. And I believe this is going to be an amazing summer of faith and growth. And I trust you're feeling it. I trust you're sensing it. I trust you're being stirred by it. I'm telling you, for some of us, we're only one defining decision away from a different life. It's time to go all in. Will you bow your heads right where you're at this morning? Father, I thank you, God, for your presence right here, God, on this Sunday morning, right here, the second weekend of June, that I know, God, by your Holy Spirit, you are stirring in us, speaking to us. And so, Lord, I'm asking right now in the mighty name of Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Let us go farther with you than we've ever been. Let us not have excuses that hold us back any longer. Time is of the essence. We've got to move. We've got to move forward in what you want for our lives. Greater is he who's in us than he that is in this world. We will not fear. I speak over every person who finds himself in a storm. I declare you will not give up, but you will trust God in the midst of your storm. And that God right now is even declaring peace in the midst of your storm in Jesus' name. For every person you feel like you've been surviving, just trying to hold on, this day be encouraged with the strength of Almighty God. Maybe you're in a season of invisibility where you can't see it right now. Don't even know where you're going. The help of the Holy Spirit is in this place. Maybe you've saw that, man, I've just been unteachable. I've been unwilling to learn. This morning, allow the Holy Spirit to make a shift in your heart, to begin to receive that which God is trying to teach you and to show you in your life. Father, I pray life and blessing and strength. God, speak. God, we don't need man's voice. We need the Holy Spirit's voice. So God, I'm asking right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us, God. Speak to us, God. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus over every life, every marriage, every family, every home, every person, every job, every neighborhood. God, use us, awaken us, God, to your call from surviving to thriving in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, if you're here this morning and you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet, I can't think of a better moment to say yes to him. He paid the price over 2,000 years ago so you can have a relationship with him and have a security of knowing you're going to heaven. Come on, with every head bowed, if you say, man, I need to put Jesus at that priority relationship, he hasn't been there, I want you to respond in a moment just by slipping up your hand. I'm going to count to three. Mean it. This is between you and God. Be bold for him. One, two, three. Say, man, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Yes. Yes. Come on. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Now let's pray. Pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray with those that are, man, believing God to come into their hearts. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. My life belongs to you. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving me brand new life. Thank you for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. I turn my back on that. And I run to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to take a moment right here in just the spirit of prayer. And let's just...